Welcome to Exam Room Exposed. I'm Dr. Debbie Sharfus, and I've been practicing obstetrics and gynecology for 30 years. Exam Room Exposed will take you into my exam room, where no topic is off limits and no question will go unanswered. So come on in to my exam room. Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Exam Room Exposed. I'm Dr. Debbie Sharfus, and today I'm really excited to have another Dr. Debbie on my podcast. Actually, the original Dr. Debbie, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Dr. Debbie is a clinical psychologist from New York City, and you might have seen her on TV. She's had her own show. She's an author, and I love following all of her stuff on Instagram, Facebook, because I think she has a lot to say, and I really feel connected with what she says. So as most of you listening to my podcast know, I started Dr. Debbie's Wellness about 2 years ago to try to help people with all thing wellness, but primarily I was talking about foods and inflammation and processed things and carbohydrates, and because that's how I reversed a few autoimmune diseases I had myself by doing that. So now I'm spreading the word, and part of wellness is emotional wellness, mental well-being. I always joke that I have an undergrad degree from Michigan in psychology, and that almost makes me a psychologist, but not really. Being a gynecologist sitting in the office all day is like being a psychologist, because everyone comes in, sits down, and you say, how are you? And they start crying, yes. Especially this past year. Yeah. So I'm so glad to welcome Dr. Debbie Maggins here to talk and help me help all of you figure out why you're crying at my office and how we maybe I can help make you feel better. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I love your introduction. I should have you everywhere I go to introduce me that way. Then I feel very good about myself, Dr. Debbie. So it's good. Thank you.
So I know when I was following you, you were doing this wellness wheel the past month and kept like every post was a different thing from this wheel about different types of wellness. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where everything really fits in. But my first thing is I sit in the office every day and have so many women that come in. Obviously, I'm a gynecologist, so they're all women. And people are not only taking care of their children and homeschooling them, but a lot of my patients are teachers themselves trying to teach in the other room. Some people are trying to they even lost their job. They can't work because they're home. And when I go in the room and I say, so you survived the pandemic, I mean, it's been a year. I can't believe it. And they all start crying. Like 80% of the people like get teary and say to me, I don't know what to do. I feel so guilt. Guilt is the number one thing I hear all the time. And they say, I'm guilty that my kids hate me now. I'm guilty that I yell at them all day for telling them what to do at school. I'm guilty about the fact that I don't even care to like look at my husband anymore or get dressed. So I don't even know what to say to these people besides saying, okay, I'm sorry. how can I help him, Dr. Debbie?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, this pandemic, I mean, it's been an interesting year for a lot of people if you're really reflecting on it, right? The initial shock of what happened, and then you sort of, everyone got into this weird groove of like being in, and some people even thrived a little bit, but many people got stuck, right? And what you're talking about, I mean, let's just start with number one of like mom guilt. I mean, that is the number one thing. And for your listeners and those moms, the mom guilt didn't start with the pandemic, but it exacerbated with the pandemic. And so I think it's a nice time to really take a look at themselves in terms of where they fit in the hierarchy of taking care of needs, right? And a lot of moms, particularly the ones who you're talking about, they take care of their caretakers. Everyone else's needs count first, and their needs are not met. And then eventually they break down from that. Very hard for them to set boundaries, very hard for them to say no, very hard to put something that they need before taking care of everyone else in their household. And at some point, this depletes you to no end. I promise you, those people were having that before this, but the pandemic would have really put them down to zero in terms of what's in their own tank. So, I mean, I'm assuming that might resonate with you, Deb. Oh. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Being a mom of, well, my three boys are grown up, but I definitely had horrible mommy guilt because I worked a lot more then than I do now. I was an obstetrician too then. I delivered babies. I was on call. I wouldn't be home for 48 hours at a time. They'd be on the phone with mommy, mommy, when are you coming home? Why aren't you the homeroom mother? Why don't you do the parties? Yes. Everything. So yeah, I had my own breakdowns.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, so I often work with people and really the thing is learning to figure out what you need as the mom, learning to set boundaries, learning to say no. And I always use this term and living with what that feels like. Right. So I no one can see me, but, you know, I have this thing where on the left, like we're in pain, but we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And on the right, it might be painful, but if it's something new, it could lead to new outcome. Right. So if they keep doing what they're doing and depleting themselves, they're going to be breaking down. If they start saying no, if they start taking care of themselves, they start setting boundaries and live through that feeling of guilt and get to the other side of it, there's the possibility of a new way of being. And so it's really pushing yourself towards different behavior instead of running on empty over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. That goes to what I see resonating on your pages all the time about feelings. And I know I'm not a feeling person, and that's part of, and I've learned by even reading what you said, oh my God. Yeah. Because I would rather do a lot of other things that hurt rather than feel that guilt or that other stuff. So it's hard to get to that other side.
Yeah. Listen, you're not alone. The world is filled with, let me distract myself. Let me. And that's also what became hard in the pandemic, because the things that we typically distract ourselves with, like going out and going to the gym and going to the movies and going to shows and going to concerts and going to dinner and all of that, all of a sudden gone. And so people start to distract themselves. I mean, a lot of people start drinking every night. And we saw on, you know, Instagram, a lot of everybody is cooking a lot and eating a lot and all sorts of ways to distract, and on social media a lot and anything but to feel the sad or the angry or the helpless. And my whole life is about helping people, A, become self-aware, obviously, but B, feeling what you need to feel so you don't get stuffed up. And if you don't feel, you're eventually going to break in one way, shape, or form. And listen, you're the MD here. Like a lot of what you see in your office when it comes out physically, it's because they haven't dealt with themselves emotionally, right? So it's not like the physical thing doesn't exist. It's there, right? Yeah. But the root cause was the not dealing with the emotions, and then your physical body then feels it. And so the mind and body are so melded together that, you know, it's very important if people feel what they need to feel, their bodies will feel healthier.
So would you tell these moms that come in saying, I just don't even get on my kids about their homework. I don't even care what they do anymore because I just can't take it. Is it better to, like, how should they deal with these? Should they feel all the, it's okay to feel these waves and just kind of get through it? I mean, I'm trying
people, they have to stop doing penance for feeling like they just can't do it for one more minute and they need to take a step back and they need a break and they need to replenish. And I appreciate that that is harder to do when you're quarantined in a pandemic, but we're not fully quarantined anymore. And people are resilient. Like the first 3 or 4 months of this thing, nobody knew which way was up. But eventually you start to get into a new routine and a new habit. And I don't believe, I really don't, because I've been doing this for a year and I work with over 40 people a week. Anyone who is still feeling depleted was feeling depleted before this pandemic. It is really about self-care and taking some space for yourself. So if you're at the point where you're just like, I just don't care anymore, then honor that and take a step back and stop policing and take some space for yourself. The world isn't going to fall apart. You know, if your kids don't do their homework one day or 2 days, the world's not going to fall apart. Right. Sometimes you just have to be like, it's okay. And a lot of moms in particular, or people, they do penance for having feelings they think they shouldn't be having, or if they're not doing everything exactly the way they should, or they're not getting things off their to-do list, you know, don't do penance. And I also give the prescription. Like sometimes you just need to do nothing. Sometimes you have to stop being productive, stop making sure things are done, and just be. And very difficult for people to do.
Very difficult, especially type A personalities. I understand that. It took me a long time to be able to do nothing and not feel guilty about it. Yeah.
Do you personally ever take space to like meditate or sit in silence or do that? Or are you someone who goes?
Oh, no, I do that. I do that now. I went, but I kind of burned and crashed myself. I'm not so good about my meditation as I should be, but I call it my own. It's whatever you say is your own quiet space. So I don't necessarily go sit down and take time and say, this is my meditation time. Like I used to, but every night when I'm in my room, before I go to bed, I can't fall asleep unless I like close my eyes and do some of my, I like do meditation laying that way. I do my saying in my head and we're going to go relax and we're.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's really important, you know, and what you're also talking about is learning how to self-soothe in very particular ways, right? Like there's self-care and then we each have our own specific things that like what really self-soothes and what helps us feel better that might be very different than somebody else. And so sometimes when we're in dire straits, we go to our own specific tactics. You know, like I have one client who, when he goes very introspective and he starts reading poetry and philosophizing, he's self-soothing in a way. Okay. And I know he's about to come out the other side replenished, right? Uh-huh. We all have, and it's important for people to think about like, what are my little ways that are separate from exercise, meditate, you know, like those are the big buzzwords, but we all are nuanced. We're not cookie cutter. And there are certain things, like you just said, that like, I need to do this little ritual because that's what soothes me. So that's really great.
No. Yeah. And I like I also didn't even think about it this way, but I was reading about the music when you posted about music, and I love musicals. I grew up listening to musicals and stuff, and I had a musical family, and I have kind of three semi-musical children. And I used to just put on things really loud and like just dance around the house and sing to musicals. And that was my thing, to calm myself down and turn it up.
Yes. And music helps people feel, you know, there's a thing called music therapy where you can sort of make a playlist and sit and just close your eyes. And it could be, if you just listen and let yourself feel, different emotions can come up, you know? So when I've talked about this, like, I wish I could play the songs for you now. Like if you play a certain song, you can tell you have a different emotional state, right? Like I always talk about the song Have It All by Jason Mraz. I was listening to it this morning. It's what I listen to when I get ready.
Okay.
Work and podcast, because I always feel motivated and uplifted. Or there's Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol that I always feel a little sort of sad. And music can help you get to your emotions. And what you're talking about is how it soothes you. And I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful way. So for anyone who's listening out there who doesn't let themselves feel, sit and listen to music and pay attention to what comes up for you. And then the other one that I talk to is cinema therapy. A lot of people who don't feel for themselves, when you watch a movie or you watch a show and all of a sudden you're crying, that's information about yourself. So sometimes it's easier for us to feel for somebody else on the screen than know that that's how we're feeling in our own lives. And so when emotion comes up, pay attention and be like, okay, what does this mean about me, for me? What's going on in me, in my life? And if tears come up, try to go with it, because the more you release, the better, because we do need a release mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I never really thought of it like that. And I'm a person who doesn't want to go see the sad movies.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be sad. Like I know when, I don't know if you watch any of the reality TV, I watch like things like The Voice or American Idol.
Yes, I do too.
I find myself crying. And it's not just actually sad, but it's triumphant or someone's story or them making it, right? It's just a release of emotion. And then you can understand something's going on inside of you that needed to come out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So do you cry a lot?
No, I'm not a crier.
Not a crier.
No.
Well, that's Debbie Wellness over there.
A stoic person who's, yes. I probably could use some feeling therapy, but that's a different story.
Dr. Debbie Wellness, try some of these things. Let's see, you know, report back to your audience.
And
to
I'm going to have to, I guess.
How it's going, yeah.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about was what were your thoughts on, like, you were just saying that people are, society starting to come back.
Yes.
You know, like, thank God I was vaccinated and I'm starting, my mother finally got vaccinated. She's 81. I actually hugged my mother last Sunday for the first time in over a year. I barely even seen her. She lives in a 55-year-old community. I would go shopping for her, but I couldn't, I had to drop off the groceries at a door. Like, I didn't see her for 8 months. It was ridiculous. And so people are starting, I've seen some of my friends, and I actually went to a restaurant for the first time in a year in Michigan last weekend. It was kind of freaky.
Indoor or outdoor?
I went inside.
Wow.
I actually did it.
Okay.
We were vaccinated. The other couple I was with was vaccinated. And the restaurant here in Michigan, you know, people yell and say our governor's horrible, but I've been really good about it because we've kept it low. And so it's been bad for the business owners, and I understand, but like, there were barely any tables in there. So I was okay with it.
Okay.
I've talked to some of my friends and then some of the patients, and people is scared. Like you were saying, it became, people were so thought they would never get through this when it first started. And then it became normal. Mm-hmm. And now these people are having new anxiety about
reentry,
engaging.
Yes. Yes, this is a huge, I just actually wrote about this. You'll see a post this week. There's a huge trend right now in my practice of, like, I call it, you know, issues waking up. So there are some things that we would experience in life that now that we've been in for a year, some of those things went to sleep and they're now all waking up, right? Of getting back into real life. So for instance, people that we're having, you know, are in communities and always worrying about, like, friend groups and who's being invited where and all those silly little things.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have to worry about for a year. Or if you're single and you didn't have to date, if dating is a hard thing, like, everything just stopped. Right. So people, I have some people who are like, we're germaphobes before coronavirus, right? Like, that we're always worried about, and like, being in was kind of a relief. It's like, we're good, right? And now they have to go back out into the world. And that's a big one of, like, being afraid of, like, can I catch this? What does this mean? So, you know, what I say to people is, whatever they're feeling, again, these issues were probably very much alive before we were in. And now everything's coming up for them. And so sort of take a step back and realize, like, this is what you were grappling with even before the pandemic, right? I don't know. I mean, like, I can give you an example from my life. Before COVID, I actually went through a bunch of surgeries. I had breast cancer and I had some complications. So I was literally, like, in for like 3.5 years because it was just like 6 surgeries. There was a whole lot of complications. I'm totally great now. Nobody has to worry about me. But I'm someone, I didn't travel for 3.5 years. And then all of a sudden I felt scared to travel. And I tried twice before COVID hit, and I backed out and I was about to go again, and then COVID hit. So now that we're reentering, people are saying, hey, do you want to maybe take a trip? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, right. I was dealing with something before all this happened.
Wow.
That was weird for me. And now I have to now deal with that again. Right. So that's a personal one that I'm grappling with. I don't know if you have a personal one that you're grappling with.
I'm not, as soon as I got vaccinated, I was pretty much out the door.
So right.
kids all over the country. So
yeah.
I went to see one, and now I'm going on Monday to Phoenix to see my baby. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of, I remember I was supposed to go to Asia. I had booked the trip of my lifetime. One of those, you know, oh, we're going to do this great trip with another couple, best friend of mine. And we were going to Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos.
Yeah.
And we had this book for 2 years, and it was like every little detail. It was, you know, saving the money for years to do this. And it was supposed to be March 8th last year that we were leaving. And on February 28th, we all looked at each other and said, my husband looked at me, who usually is very calm about it. It's not a big deal, whatever. This is stupid. And he's a physician too. And he looked at me, he said, this isn't good. We're not going.
Okay.
So I went to California to see my mother-in-law instead. And I remember my husband said, we have to take these N95s with us in case things get bad when we come home for the airplane. And I'm laughing. I've never barely used an N95. And I have pictures of myself that like popped up on Facebook. We came home from California early because everything fell apart and we had to come home and help our practice here. And I was freaking out about my mother. I moved her out. I got called my kids emergently, get mom out of there right now. They'll never let her out. Bring her home. And I have a picture of me sitting in LAX with a mask on, with most people not just like saying, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life. I can't imagine that I have to wear this. Is this really going to happen? And so now
here
we are. And so I do feel weird. Like I don't think I will ever go in an airport or on an airplane without a mask.
Yes.
I just don't think I can.
Yes. Agreed. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's my fear. But one of my good friends who runs a very large company and everyone's worked from home, we were talking the other night about this. And he said, I said, are you bringing people back to the office? Are they coming back to their things? And he said, you know what? I never thought I'd feel this way, but I have this anxiety about being with more than like six people. Uh-huh. I don't know if I can bring my staff back.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to have their nuances. Listen, I'm a big rule follower, in terms of this stuff and listening to Fauci. You know, I'm taking it, you know, he says, open up, but slowly. So right now in my world, if whoever's double vaccinated, we're starting to spend time together without masks. But like, I wouldn't go indoor dining yet because I'm waiting. Right. So everyone's got their comfort level. But I also, like I shared, I was sick for 3 years before this ever happened. So my thing is I'm not getting sick again.
Don't get sick. Right.
So everyone's coming from their own perspective and that's fine. But the overall thing here is everyone takes stock of like what your thing is and look at, it was probably your thing before, it's just waking up. And so now, you know, like for me, now I have to deal with, I got to get on a plane and go travel again, because that was something that got in the way before COVID hit. You know, for you, it sounds like nothing's in the way of getting out. It was much harder for you to be in, right?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, because I'm also an introvert type person. So I was happy to be here and not really go, but part of it is also that I had to work this whole time and go out. I have patients who come in and say, I'm the first, it's been 9 months and they haven't left the house, but I had to go to work every week all the time and go to the hospital and do stuff. So I never got, I was the person out there with all the crazy outfit on and everything. So to me,
you've had a completely different COVID experience than I have. And then, you know, like we've all had our own experience based on what our lives are. Right. So everything we're saying, everyone has to then personalize to their specific thing.
And just right. Well, during COVID, I always told people you have to default to the person who's the most uncomfortable. That was my thing. Like if someone said, I invited someone over for dinner, I said, we'd sit 10 feet apart. In the summer, it was okay because we could sit like outside. When it got cold here in Michigan, you know, like I had one or two friends that said, okay, with a mask on inside, you know, you're on one side of the room and I'm on the other side. And I had one of my closest friends, she would not come over. She wouldn't go to anyone's house.
Right.
Wouldn't do any of that. And I said, you have to default to her and her comfort level.
I have
to give her respect for that.
Yes. 100%. And you guys can get together and she doesn't have to. Everyone, you know, this is the kind of thing, but this is what we should be doing in life anyway. Everyone, listen, we're all N of one, right? We all spin in our own orbits and we all filter in information differently. And you know, I don't have to go into too much detail, but it's all based on our past and our childhoods and all of that. So we don't all have the same feelings or same perceptions or same things that trigger us. And we have to be respectful that not everyone is, you know, a lot of people will say like, oh, that person's being ridiculous.
Right.
No, they're not being ridiculous. They're being different, right? Different is not ridiculous because they're in their own orbit of how they feel and how they filter in things. And so that's for COVID, that's for reentry, that's for life, of recognizing that there's always two perceptions and then the truth. No one's right. Everyone's just in their own perception. I mean, listen, we live in a much nicer world if that could be followed, that respect for other people's perceptions and opinions, and there's not just one right way, but so be it. That's for another podcast.
Well, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, a whole other podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Fauci is right. So I have to listen to. Therefore you got vaccinated.
Yes, I am double vaccinated now as of 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. So I'm fully double vaccinated. And personally, yesterday was the first time with another, my close friend, we were together without masks for the first time in a year. Because I wouldn't, I was like your friend. I would not go.
Right. So, I would wear masks. I would just go, but I would wear a mask. But now, yeah, I took off my mask the other day with my mother and it was like the weirdest thing.
But it feels so good. It really does.
So enlightening. And spring's coming and I think everything's
getting
better. It's going to get better.
This actually speaks to the other part, one of the other parts of my wheel of self-care is the social connection piece, right? Like social connection is so important. And I think we all see that, like, right? It feels so good to be without a mask and be with someone and be able to hug them. It was also a time, and people should always be doing this, of taking stock of like, who are you in your relationships? What do you give to them? Are you with the right people? You know, are you connecting? Are you holding your own and your part in what your connections look like? Because a lot of people during this time, if they weren't solidly socially connected before, it became a very isolating experience. So again, everyone has to take stock of where they are in terms of, because for mental health, for physical health, there's all sorts of research that social connections are the thing that keep people healthier from a mind and body perspective.
Right.
So, and this really challenged that a lot for people. But again, I'm going to say, even if you're single and alone, if you have solid social connections, you didn't feel as alone. So it's really important. Thank God
for video chat.
Yes. Thank God for video chat. Exactly.
You have to see the parents and stuff.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, thanks for spending the time talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
It was a lot of fun. And if anyone you're followed on, is it at Dr. Debbie
Maggins? Yes. I think it's Dr. Debbie Maggins. Is that my Instagram? Do you know?
At Debbie Maggins on Instagram. And
yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to see where I have no idea what I am on Instagram. Isn't that terrible? I don't
know how to find out what I am.
It's Dr. Debbie Maggins on Instagram.
There you go. Okay. So
and I think on Facebook, it's Dr. Debbie, but on here, it's Dr. Debbie Maggins. I was late to Instagram.
Oh, I was late to the whole party. So
anyway, thank you. It was so nice chatting with you. I think you're wonderful and keep doing all your good work. And thanks for having me.
You're welcome and have a great weekend.
You too. And we'll stay connected. Bye, okay, Debbie.
Bye.